become aware of what has just happened. In any event, I want to discuss the very popular, for different reasons, movies that I recently made a point of seeing, one being Selma and The American Sniper being the other. And we'll go into that. I was in conversation with someone just this morning about the ISIS situation, but the American Sniper has rung some bells in people, and what really are heroes or really are not heroes. And I look back on the football star that was shot in Afghanistan in the back, and his clothing burnt, and the concealment of his death from fragging, as it's called, where fellow soldiers basically executed him. And his name escapes me at the moment, but he was a star player for the Arizona Cardinals. I'll think of the name in a little bit, but his death was concealed under the direction of General McChrystal, and I have a favorite thought about him or two. But in the case of The American Sniper, I listened at the end of the film, and I heard applause, and I saw what was a psychopathic character, basically, who, when questions came to him about what the purpose was, and it came every so often, not a lot, in Clint Eastwood's film. What's it all about, Charlie Brown? As comes to mind. But Floyd, I'd like to have you shift over away from these two serious matters, and we'll come back to them later. But Floyd Winters, I'd like to have him introduce himself to you again. He's been in 1490 AM in the past. I was shared a show with him in the past as well, and Floyd's a very confident, knowledgeable person, and has viewpoints that are interesting as well. And now you're going to hear his voice for some time in the future. Floyd, would you go from here?
Good morning. I think that was Pat Tillman, but we'll get to Pat Tillman later.
That's
on.
That's the name.
I'm Floyd J. Winters. Yes, I've been here before. We did the Jay and Julie Show, exploring the lighter side of politics, culture, and technology around 2005, 6, and 7. And I've been an occasional guest speaker or co-host. But this is the first time back in the radio for a while. I've enjoyed this particular area right here. I love the particular region of Bradenton, Sarasota, and Tampa Bay. And
Floyd, what do you do? What is your task in life to make a real life and a real living?
I've been a career teacher. I'm currently a computer science teacher, and I'm a web developer. And I teach small sailboat sailing.
Oh.
So I keep myself busy, and I was a political science major at Rutgers University, and I did run for office back in 2004 against a person called Catherine Harris.
Oh, that was an interesting time.
Yes, it was an interesting time. At that time, it was the most expensive congressional race in the United States.
Oh,
and
really?
Since then, the stakes have really increased. It's interesting. You have to be a millionaire just to go into the primaries as a rule.
So you made it through the primary against her?
No, I didn't. There was a person came in called Christine Jennings.
Oh, that was the big...
And it was interesting trying to... A good deal of a candidate's time is spent trying to raise money.
Mm-hmm.
And I would spend time on the phone with potential donors. And they would say, I love your message. You know what you're talking about. You present yourself very well. But we're going to support Christine because she has money.
Oh, that's really what it does come down to.
And Christine was a banker, and she was a very wealthy individual. I had put $50,000 of my own money into the race.
Wow.
And but I didn't want to go on campaign contributions. I wanted to be an independent. And
unfortunately,
they don't, as far as finances. I didn't want to be obligated to people. But instead, the voters, the super voters in primaries, they go after people to the far right or the far left, and they go after people with money. The super voters are the people who show up in the midterm elections.
I have been saying for some time that the real solution to that problem, if people are going to be chosen on the basis of competency and ability, open primaries are the way to go. I think if we have the party primaries eliminated, and people are chosen on the basis of ability, not on the basis of party, we might actually have a chance in the society to put back on the on the ballot, if you will. People of choice based on performance that people know about, and you'd have to know about them. The parties can get behind different people as they choose to, but if you're not forced to choose within a party primary, you're going to have a different approach to the elections.
Yeah, I think there's only one state in the union that currently does it
California.
At the primary.
California. And,
but most states have these closed primaries just to Democrats or to Republicans, and they tend to pick the most radical person, and as a consequence, we get a Congress that basically is in a big stall right now. They can't agree in almost anything.
Yeah.
Occasionally a few, oh, yes, we'll recognize this police officer or this soldier for something like that. But as far as getting substance done, it's a big stalemate, largely because of our closed primaries. It used to be they didn't like the idea of these big politicians smoking cigars in smoke-filled rooms choosing candidates. But at least they had the common sense of picking more moderate candidates. Mm-hmm. But our primary system picks the people on the extreme fringes as a rule.
Let's let the audience in on this. If you want to ask Floyd some questions about himself and his experience, which having run in a political campaign is kind of wide and more than most people are used to. But 941-745-1490, and we did have an earlier caller. If he would call back again, it was Wade. So, Wade, please call back. This is an appropriate time. I know you have other things in your life to do. We got you in on the changeover from the news to the national show that comes in, and syndicated show that comes in our absence. So, Wade, call back. Our others, 941-745-1490. Go on a little bit longer than Floyd, and we can talk about the extenuating relationships to what's happened to you and what happens to others with the money issue, which you were talking about.
Well, it takes over $1 million typically to run mm-hmm. these races. It's a very expensive operation, and the candidates spend most of their time just basically on a phone with donors. And as a consequence, the candidates end up in the pockets of the donors very often. And it's democracy is the best government money can buy.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is a cynical approach, and of course today you'd have to agree with that. It's become corrupted in ways that we couldn't imagine. The billions that are being looked at is becoming a norm. And now we've got the Koch brothers putting up 800, what is it, 800 billion, huh?
Well, no, no.
Or 800 million. No, no. I think it is 800 billion that they're putting up. It's going to be approaching $1 trillion, as much as the entire Republican Party for all the other candidates. I think that's the number that I heard.
Yeah. The figures are huge for those, mm-hmm. The Koch brothers.
But they're doing it separate from the party, which is curious, because that would favor the Cruises of the world. And I think we have a caller right now. So.
Okay. We have a caller right now. Good morning, caller. You are live on the air.
Pick up the phone. Thank you.
Good morning, caller. You're live on the air in 1490. Welcome to the Morning Edge.
Hello.
Hello. I can almost hear you. I'm going to
put the phone on your ear.
Okay, the phone's up.
No, but hold it against your ear. Yeah.
See? Okay, I can hear you. Okay. I can hear you here.
Okay, good. You got to turn the volume up.
Lawrence and St. Petersburg. Are you hearing Lawrence through there?
I can barely hear it.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out. Lawrence, I have the phone on right now.
Is this the Lawrence?
Lawrence, oh, the wonderful Lawrence.
Okay.
Okay. And we're not sure why that is, Lawrence. I've got the...
Well,
I have a good idea, but that's...
Yeah. Okay.
It's not because we don't want to hear you, Lawrence,
well,
but...
Lawrence, I want to make sure that I can hear you through my speaker. I shouldn't have to be holding this phone up.
Well, now you can put the phone down. Yeah.
And
I heard Lawrence, so...
Okay.
Lawrence, yell if you choose to. What's your question for today? Oh, just me? I'm not connected? Is that what you're saying?
Okay, try again, Lawrence.
No.
Okay, so somehow I've lost, Lawrence. I've got to get used to using these controls again.
Yeah.
And somehow that's not working. I'm going to drop Lawrence for right now. I've got the phone on.
You might want to try these levers in here.
But the phone is on all the way, and I've got our mics on. I did hit the right button.
Yeah, we're relearning the board here.
Yeah, I haven't been here for a while.
So it's
we let... Reverend Williams' escape. We should have held him hostage for a little bit longer. So I'll have to experiment with this a little bit as we're going through. Well, what a shame we lost the knowledgeable and wonderfully charming Lawrence.
Well, I think he's a great challenger. I enjoy Lawrence. I wouldn't want him to go away. And, you know, we're about to lose Rick from Rick on the Radio for health reasons and for spiritual reasons and others. We need the voice of those who disagree with us. And
okay, so I'm going to hit this again.
You got to pick up.
Welcome to 1490 AM.
You got to pick up the regular phone. Yeah.
Welcome to 1490 AM. I think I've got you locked in. Try again.
Yes, I can hear you now.
Yes, I just figured out.
Run the volume down on this phone.
Okay.
There you go.
There we go. So we've got this figured out. It didn't take that long, just two tries.
Good morning, Lawrence. What's on your mind?
Good morning, August. I was wondering with your guest host, why do you neglect to talk about the Koch brothers as being libertarians, not Republicans?
Why do I neglect saying that?
Is there an echo in here?
Well, I'm making sure I understand your question.
Yeah, well, that's the question, August.
I think you're right.
They're libertarians. Did you know that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, then why do you say Republicans? And why do you neglect to talk about money in politics without talking about Tom Steyer?
Oh, it's Tom Steyer, the Democrat.
Why is that you are biased to one side?
No, I'm really
and not.
Not
accurate.
That's, well, accuracy.
Do you not think that those are some variables that should be involved into your discussion?
Well, I think if you heard what I said earlier.
I did hear what you said.
Well, if you heard me say that we need to go to open primary, so part
of... Right, right. But then you went off on the Koch brothers and money and so forth.
The reason I did that was because the Koch...
Because you're biased.
No. The Koch,
yes.
Well, you can say what you choose.
I do.
Well, then let me speak, okay? Be polite that way. The Koch brothers are really creating a third party, in effect, and a libertarian party at that. And I'm not even objecting to that, but I think people need to understand that it isn't. It's actually opposed to the Republican Party if they only knew it. And they still do homage to the Koch brothers, the Republicans, so they act as though they're part of the same party.
And Tom Steyer?
And Tom Steyer is pretty much doing the same thing, his politics.
But then why do you not mention him in the same breath when you mention the Koch brothers?
I don't think that he's creating a separate party.
And a separate party. Mm-hmm. He's a tree hugger. That is not a separate party. The environmentalists.
Well, slow down a little bit, Lawrence. One question, and we'll try to answer it in our inept way.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm waiting.
Well, Tom Steyer, I know not that much about his personal politics, but as my understanding... Well, I'm sorry, I don't. And let me finish what I'm about to say. If you're going to let me speak, I will be glad to talk to you. In any event, Steyer, if he's a tree hugger, fine, I applaud that. But I have never understood that he set his agenda out over and against the party itself. And I do agree that if he does, then he's doing something that the Koch brothers are doing as well. And that is the problem in the party politics that we have today.
And yes, that's the issue. We're suggesting something like an open primary. Because
I understand
Lawrence, I just turned you down. Just give each of us a chance to be polite. We're looking for a civil conversation here, not ugliness. That's what's happened in our political forum, and I don't want to have that happen right here if we can avoid it. Just let me say one moment that we're suggesting that we not elect people for the fringes on both sides. And I said fringes. I didn't say to the fringe right or to the fringe left. We're talking about both sides. And it happened in my particular case, as you're running for Democratic primaries, that you get sometimes people who are just too far to the left, too far to the right. And it happens on both ends, that there's major campaign contributors with all kinds of deep pockets. So
the question back to Lawrence now is, Lawrence, do you see any problem in the money issue on whatever party you're siding with one way or the other?
The answer to your question, and I will answer it as opposed to going out into the faculty lounge response, is yes, money is a problem in politics. But it is also going on in both parties.
Yes,
we agree with you.
We've already established
one on the right when you've got ones as big, if not worse, on the left.
Well, that's just okay. That's taking a point of view and extrapolating, and you're not wrong. Just that we both happen to agree. You just don't know when you're being agreed with, Lawrence.
Yeah. So yeah, we're all there. So Lawrence, if you have a different point to make, we'd love to hear something else from you besides saying the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
We agree. There's too much money in politics in both the left and the right. So if you have a different opinion to say, with some kind of politeness, it would be nice to hear from you if that's possible.
Well, attacking the messenger is your usual mode, and you're in
okay, Lawrence, I just cut you off. We weren't attacking you. We were just asking for a conversation with you. And we're out here just in a polite civil discourse, exchanging ideas. We're not attacking you, Lawrence. We're just asking you to say something different. You made your point. We agreed with your point. There's too much money on the left and on the right. We're not out here to belittle you. We're out here for a civil conversation. It doesn't happen in Congress. We think it can happen here. Let's see if you can try that, please. Civilly, see if you can express yourself without putting Augie down or putting me down or making these innuendos that are not necessary, unless that's what you want to be as a person that's not very attractive to talk with.
Again, attacking the messenger is very telling. And what I'm saying is I was responding to your comments about the bias on the right with the evil Koch brothers and you ignoring the reality of the situation.
Lawrence, we
so
agreed with you already.
You can go back to your bias now.
Okay.
Lawrence, we agreed with you. We agreed with your point.
We'll see what happens if you agree, and now walk the talk.
Okay, Lawrence, we'll talk to you later. Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you, Lawrence. We'll see you later. In any event, Lawrence is a burr under the collar of some people. I would love to have a real conversation with Lawrence one day where I'm not being yelled down or yelled at for what he imagines is a slight. As an insult, and he takes it. I'm not sure he's even serious. I think it's almost a game with Lawrence.
Well, perhaps, but I think it sets the wrong kind of trend for a show, that we want to have a conversation, discuss real issues. Yes, Augie and I are both Democrats. I'm a moderate Democrat. I voted for Republicans in the past. I continue to vote for Republicans who want to represent all of Americans, not just corporate America. And there are such a creature. And not all Democrats are tree huggers, but there are some Democrats who are so far to the left that they make me uncomfortable. I would like to have that civil conversation on this radio show, and I welcome people who disagree with us, but let's do it in the spirit of listening and giving and take, not just finding innuendos and making these suggestions about how nasty we are simply because we're in a different party.
I think the problem that I have is that the country is, if it's to be a country, a United States of America, it has to be federally run. And as long as we have this division that we have at the political end, you really have to look at the culprit, which I think are states' rights. And if we're going to have a system of government that's going to cause a people to generate a progressive approach to anything we do in life, we would not. This country would be absolutely nowhere without FDR's REA, rural electrification, and we would not be anywhere without Lincoln's transcontinental highway. At the time he was conducting the Civil War, we would not be anywhere with Eisenhower continuing what FDR did. These are the statesmen, and what Teddy Roosevelt did with the preservation of the great lands.
Three Republicans and one Democrat. Again, we honor and acknowledge the contributions of the Republican Party.
Exactly what I just exactly did. And the point is that these are different Republicans that we're talking about. I would judge, frankly, that Teddy Roosevelt and Abraham Lincoln would have a tough time putting up with the likes of Strom Thurmond at any point in time, or of Jesse Helms, with the insistence on the segregation of the South and the civil rights bills and so forth. And the coming together of this country has been slow and painful over 200 years. You know, it boggles the mind. And where we would be without these great men, and we certainly wouldn't want to have that in the hands of those people. And unfortunately, the party switched hats. The Dixiecrats the Southern Democrats became Republicans, and the Republican Party adopted the Southern strategy of separation and division.
Good morning, 1490 AM. You're on. You're live on the radio with...
I think we got you on.
Oh, I got to hit... Yeah. Okay, try it again. Good morning. You're live on the radio with 1490 AM at the Morning Edge.
You forgot Robert C. Byrd.
Well, Robert Byrd was not the founding
Democrat.
Father. Yes, he was. And he,
Klansman.
And he has rejected his past.
Yes, but he was a Democrat, celebrated Democrat, and you neglected to mention him.
Well,
so
Lawrence, one word, please. Byrd should have changed and gone to the Republican Party, and he would have suited himself well at that point, wouldn't he? Along
Absolutely.
With Jesse Helm and Strom Thurmond. Those are the kind of people that you and the Republican Party have embraced. So you condemn him as long as he remained a Democrat. I guess you condemn him because he remained a Democrat and changed his attitude. So maybe the condemnation you utter is about the fact that he didn't become a Republican. Oh, my gosh, what a mistake that was.
Well, we can mention all kinds of heroes and also anti-heroes in both parties. Mm-hmm. We could go on the whole entire show and just list name after name after name. And that's not our goal right here. We're just looking at
Well, I do think it's important. I think we've lost Lawrence. So this time Lawrence hung up and we didn't have to. We didn't hang up on Lawrence.
No, we didn't.
But now you know the problem with Lawrence really is that he wants to point the finger at racism when it's in the other party, but he certainly doesn't want to point it at his own party and that they've taken on the racist caps, the pointy hats that were mocking of the Catholic Church, and they were copied off and mocking Catholics and Jews and so forth, the old South. But my solution to this one is... Let's form the United States of North America. That would include Mexico and the states that have all the big ports. That would be California, Oregon, Washington. It would include Chicago and that port there, oh my gosh, in Lake Michigan and the St. Lawrence Seaway. And it would include the state of New York. And what would be left of the tax base in the United States? The South could have Washington, D.C., but by golly, I'll bet you in a heartbeat, the state of Florida would become part of the states of those Northern American states.
Well, Florida is the only northern state south of the Mason-Dixon line.
Exactly.
I mean, it is a northern state, without doubt. We've had such a mass immigration here of people from New York and Michigan and up north. So, Augie, did you want to get back to The American Sniper?
I really think it's an important film for lots of reasons. This poor boy, the film starts out with him walking in the woods, and he's out hunting, and his father wants him to be a crack shot. And right off the bat, the boy shoots a five-point deer and lays his gun down in the grass and runs over to the deer. And the father yells at him, "Hey, get back here. What are you doing?" And the boy was surprised. And he said, "What do you mean, Dad?" And he says, "Your gun's in the dirt. What do you think you're doing with a gun?" And the gun became such a factor in his life. And then there's another scene in the film where he's out on a rodeo, and he's riding cattle, and he wins that. He gets this cowboy belt, and he calls himself a cowboy. He's in Texas, and he's got this polished belt.
We're not going to ruin the movie for potential viewers, are we?
No.
Okay.
No. In the polished belt, he figures he's going to woo the handsomest woman on the bar, and he proceeds to go into that, and then she says, "Well, I don't frankly think you're a cowboy, and I think you're a redneck jerk." And that was where it started, and it challenged him in ways. Of course, that's what's interesting about the film. He wanted to separate himself from being just a redneck jerk and or a cowboy in the same phrase. And he decided he wanted to join the military, and he did. But his idea of what the military was about, played by Bradley Cooper, his name being Chris Kyle, who's the actual hero. It's a true story of sorts. A film version of a true story, like Selma is a film version of a true story. And he ends up becoming a crack shot. And the thing about the film is, and a lot of people do not realize, And I had a conversation with someone last night, actually, about this, and it came up in the conversation. His job was being a sniper. Well, there is no MOS for snipership in the military. It just doesn't exist. And what happens is the defeated military uses snipers to delay the winning side from advancing. And what was happening is he was in a contest between himself and an Iraqi sniper as well, who was just as legendary as he was. And the snipers became heroes. And there's a film called The Enemy at the Gate. It's about the siege of Leningrad. And there's one who's a Russian and one who's a German, a Nazi. And a very much better film than this film. But nonetheless, the same problem. Are these heroes really, or are they just fodder to be thrown away that can shoot well? When I was in the military, I shot expert one time, and I shot sharpshooter twice. Three times you get 2 out of 3, you get the sharpshooter badge. But to shoot that, you had to shoot at 500 feet or so, bullseyes every time, and I did that once. I came close to another time. But it isn't about your brain. It's about your eye and your trigger finger and that sort of thing, and a willingness to kill. And he became fixated in this film. I thought psychopathic. And it's an interesting film from the standpoint, if you look at him, and when he was, and when it came to his attention that he was in a lost war, a failed effort of this country by fellow soldiers, he shrugged it off. Well, I'm just doing my job, he kept saying. I kept doing my job. And this is where this thing goes when you do not understand what you're doing and when you're in a mercenary army. And that's what we have today, a mercenary army, a mercenary military, and a situation that is going to be expanded on in terms of monies again and again and again. And the president, whoever it be, is going to be faced with these challenges and solving them in a military way. And we're just going to be endlessly caught up in this thing, which is totally against what this country is supposed to be about. But I think we have a caller on the line. I think we're about to receive the caller. Who's calling?
Okay, this is John from Sarasota. Welcome, John.
Morning, John.
Yeah. Hi, Augie. Hi, Floyd. Floyd, I really enjoyed your show for several years that you were on 1490.
Thank you, John.
I haven't called in for a while. I've been real busy, a lot of changes in my morning life lately. First of all, before I talk about American Sniper and maybe some other... a couple other topics. I gotta say, I hope Henry's okay.
He is.
And I hope Rick on the radio is okay.
Oh, not so likely. Sorry
okay.
about that.
Yeah, I haven't listened to the show for the last couple weeks. I picked you up on Monday a couple of days ago, and I think that was a repeat.
Yes,
and
it was.
And there was a mention of Rick, and I was very upset.
No, Rick was. Rick had that wonderful, rich, deep voice, and I think this is bull. I think we're going to have
it. And he was, even though he was stream of conscious, he spoke from his heart. I mean, it just...
Well, I think that's...
He was a pure delight to listen to. I mean, it was all stream of consciousness, a lot of association, and there was a lot of richness in his dialogue. You know, and sometimes, it wasn't as clear as could be, but he always, always spoke from his heart, and I always liked that about him.
I think that I have that tendency, and I get warned about it every so often, but Rick...
don't we all?
But Rick is what you say is, and I don't like to put the word was, and there's always a possibility of remissions and things like that, and... I know.
Well, see, I don't know the details, but I have to say before we get into a little conversation, I hope Henry's okay and I hope Rick's okay. And if they're listening, I've really appreciated their contributions and I hope Henry comes back as soon as he can for whatever reason it is.
It's a job related situation. They changed his schedule and we've tried to trade places. But I'm very happy with Floyd here. I'm not trying to.
Oh, I love the Floyd Floyd show a few years ago. I used to call in and talk to Floyd and his wife. Now, on to American Sniper and maybe a couple other topics. Well, first of all, films about war. I think I've mentioned this in the past. There is an extraordinary Chinese film that you can bring up on demand on your cable. It's called The City of Life and Death.
Oh, really?
And it's about in view of the 70-year commemoration of the horrors of Auschwitz and the liberation of Auschwitz. This film, The City of Life and Death, is about the rape of Nanking.
I thought that's what you were talking
about. 300,000 citizens were killed in 1937,
yes.
Between 1937 and 1940, I guess.
The rape of Nanking is an example of the horrendous, of some of the horrendous things of that military at that time.
It was on last night, and you can pull it up on demand. It's called The City of Life and Death. It's a Chinese film, English subtitles, but it is an extremely, it's in black and white, but it's one of the most extraordinary. You mentioned the sniper movie about Stalingrad, and I've seen that. That's very moving. This is just that both of you've got to see this. I've also mentioned in the past, it was probably a year or two ago, one of the most moving movies I've ever seen about war, etc., was, and it's been done twice, it's about the Wannsee Conference, WANSEE, which actually happened.
I want him to remind me, go into some detail here on Wannsee. That rings a bell, but it's not very clear.
No, it's, there are two, there was... two films made about this. One is in English, and the lead is the Nazi Heydrich is played by a very famous English actor that I can't recall right now this early in the morning. And then there is another, I believe it's German. But the Wannsee Conference was held in a mansion. I guess the Wannsee Mansion is still being preserved in Poland.
Mm-hmm.
And it literally, it's just, talk about the banality of evil.
Mm-hmm.
Remember last week was the 70th anniversary about the liberation of Auschwitz.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds us of, mm-hmm. and as we saw what happened to the Jordanian pilot last night, it reminds us, all of us, about the real presence of evil in the world. But anyway, the Wannsee Conference really happened, amazing, was a logistical conference that was held in the early 1940s, after Poland had been conquered, how to design the final solution. And the movie is about bringing German officials that controlled transportation, army generals, Heydrich, the famous beloved Aryan Nazi, led the conference. I don't know if Rudolf Hess or any of the other high-ranking Nazis was there, but the movie literally and very provocatively details in a period of an hour and a half to 2 hours the conference that designed the final solution.
Mm-hmm.
It's all over champagne and hors d'oeuvres.
Mm-hmm.
And it is one of the most remarkable movies
it was a celebration of the final solution, right?
Not the celebration, it's a historical
preparation
account of what actually happened. It was called the Wannsee, W-A-N-S-E-E, the Wannsee Conference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where was it held?
I believe it was a mansion in Poland.
In Poland.
May have been Germany, but
Wannsee sounds like a German name.
The mansion is still preserved.
Mm-hmm.
but there were two or three dozen high-level Nazi officials, and it was the official planning for the blueprints, you know, of the final solution. How, you know, now that Western Europe had been conquered, you know, how many trains do you need to get from France to areas in Poland and Germany? And they had railroad officials there. And it was all done over champagne. And I mean, it's just a very striking movie. But anyway, back to American Sniper. we need warriors in this country. My father fought in the Pacific. I know Henry's father. I've heard him talk about Pacific. The gentleman that's called in for years on the show, Wade. Fighting in the Pacific. We need warriors. My disappointment, I have not seen the film, but my disappointment about the coverage of the film, besides it's being politicized, mostly on the right, and the foolish comments by some people on the left, is that why don't we see a film about how we mistakenly got into Iraq?
Oh, the weapons of mass destruction,
You know, because again, as you were hinting, Augie, the suggestion throughout this movie is that we're fighting them here, so over there, so they don't come here.
Exactly.
You know, where the reality is, many people agree it was a huge, even Bill O'Reilly twice in the last year, not recently, but I made note of this. I have to follow Fox, because they're moving the country. Look what they did in the election. But anyway, even Bill O'Reilly in the last year and a half twice said it's one of the biggest historical mistakes this country's ever made. Of course, he was one of the biggest cheerleaders for it.
It costs us $1 trillion. It costs us about 300,000 wounded, tens of thousands completely decapitated from all kinds of different reasons.
Millions of refugees.
4,000 dead, more than we lost at the World Trade Center. And yet there were no weapons of mass destruction. There was no Al-Qaeda before the Iraqi war. Al-Qaeda did not exist in Iraq. 16 of the 19 hijackers came from oil-rich, Bush-friendly Saudi Arabia, but none of them came from Iraq.
But maybe some connections here in Sarasota, huh?
A little bit.
Well, in Venice. And a little bit in Sarasota,
well,
in Venice.
Well, the flyout of Sarasota 2 weeks prior to D.C. of the Saudi families that lived
extraordinary.
They were also the first airplane allowed to take off after 9/11 was the Bin Laden family.
Right.
Bin Laden family was the first airplane allowed to take off.
Right. But 2 weeks prior, they were flying people out as well.
Oh, yes.
But the
God bless Senator Bob Graham. He's doing some good work.
Graham has been great on that. Yes.
Well, that's what the show on Monday was about. To a large extent.
I was just getting ready to say that. That is slowly being uncovered, and it's just sad thing. If you were a conspiratorialist, you would think that there was interest in the Saudis to get the U.S. involved in Iraq and then Iran, their foremost enemy.
Yeah, there's Shiites and Sunnis, and Saudi Arabia's in a different religious background.
That is a Sunni hotbed of the most extreme. The madrasas are there not for education except for indoctrination. And then a lot of the people that are coming in with ISIS and monies that are coming into ISIS are all coming from Saudi Arabia. So this thing is...
I know, it's extraordinary, and Bob Graham is still on it.
Yes, he is. He's got his teeth on this thing, and if Harley Slanger's right, then we're going to see the 24, 27 pages come forward, and if that does blow the lid off of things, God bless America, finally.
Yes.
John, here's a question. You were talking about the American Sniper, and so was Audie. There's a scene in the trailer, and I don't want to spoil the movie, where Bradley Cooper, the character, has his rifle aimed at a young kid who was just given an IED by a woman, and he's thinking that IED can be used to kill one of my
compatriots. Well, she hands it off to him, and he's got to think about shooting the kid. It's a horrific thing. And later on in the film, this same situation comes up, I won't tell people what happens there because it's a... It's
well, no, my father, I can recall my father, he's no longer with us, but I can recall my father telling stories of when he was at, he was at Guadalcanal and a couple of the islands of women having hand grenades under their clothing, coming up to American GIs. So my issue is not with snipers, you know, and not with warriors, you know. My issue is with the way this whole movie was framed, that somehow we were over there fighting.
Oh, we got a new caller?
Yes. Yeah, we have a new caller, and accidentally, when I put the new caller
John
by accident.
Well, come back. John would like to finish this conversation, so we're going to go to the new caller briefly here or at whatever length. Caller, tell us who you are.
All right. It's Wade. It's Wade. I want to thank you very much for this coverage. I'm with a group of people, some of whom were Holocaust victims, and I have quite a number of Holocaust victims that I know in an organization I belong to. Thanks so much for the coverage. I know you've got other things to do here, so I'll let you go on that.
Okay, before you start, Wade, I want to apologize to John. This is my first day back on the lines, and I cut John off by accident. It wasn't my intention.
Right, glad to hear you
and
again.
I'm trying
glad
to have two people on the line at one
and
time.
Best regards to your lady.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so Wade, what do you want to share with us?
Well, I just wanted to share with you that I'm in an organization called the Congregation for Humanistic Judaism. And we have a number of Holocaust victims in that, and we make a point of giving them a chance to speak and tell their story. And this occurs several times a year at the meetings that we have. We have regular meetings on many topics, but that's one that we always hold with a certain reverence. And there are very few left. The age is a factor. But those who were children at the time, of course, those are the ones that we especially give attention to. They're old people now, and they're dying off. But that's just to tell you that that's what I just wanted to observe, that there is a local organization who gives a lot of recognition to the Holocaust victims.
Do any of your
I'm trying to be a member of that, yeah.
Do any of your people there have anything to say about this, Wade, or do they have any interest in commenting?
Well, as a matter of fact, I was talking yesterday with a lady that was 20 years old at the time that Hitler pushed them back, and they tried to escape into Switzerland, and I was astonished to learn that the Swiss did not admit them, so that they were forced to, she was 20 at the time, they were forced to hide just on the border in Belgium, but they couldn't get into Switzerland. And here she is now, she's 90, she's 98, and she's remembering this was, a great deal of
good morning.
Still cheerful. It's kind of a terrible thing, really.
What is her name?
You know, I can't give you her name just now. It doesn't come back to me just now. I just met her yesterday.
Does she want to say something?
Well, I think that she did not hear right at the moment.
Oh, she's not. You're telling about what has happened.
Here. Yeah, mm-hmm. And so I want to thank you, Floyd, for bringing this up, and I'm sure that it'll mean a lot to a great many people. And can it be accessed after the program?
Well, we're hoping the recording goes through, and if it is, it'll be in a podcast if our technology holds up. We've had a little trouble with our technology.
Yeah, okay. If it does, there'll be more people that will be listening to it.
Sure.
I was unable to access your program until I came back up to my room on the fourth floor, on the bottom floor.
Well, the broadcast from 1490 is spotty. It's not that it extends all the way to Venice, but it has areas that are either blocked or interfered with, or the power isn't sufficient.
Fine,
just like my cell phone.
On the first floor, it does not. And so it's a matter of
I have to turn my Bose radio in a certain direction to pick up the broadcast myself.
Yeah, that helps me too. Yeah. Okay, well, listen, thanks a lot, guys, and I do appreciate it. I'm glad to hear you in business there, and hope to hear you again Friday.
Okay, thank you. I really appreciate you calling in, Wade. Bye-bye.
Well, there we go. We had a really – I'm sorry we lost John. If, John, you want to call back again, please do. You had a lot to say and obviously compelling ideas and thoughts. This whole situation of You know, the cheering of the film when I waited for it to end, Clint Eastwood's film, American Sniper. But as I said early on in the show, there are no MOS positions in the military for that job. And they choose you not really because they're looking for snipers to act on the ground for a retreating army, because it's really a sign of defeat. And both sides were defeated in that situation because both sides had a sniper. And one, the American sniper went out over the other sniper. And the heroic aspect of the war, I think it may be lost on people, because that is a poor idea of what a war is really about. And I think that's what this film brought home to me. I had a fairly high MOS when
I'll put you on the air.
I was in the military. We have a caller, I believe. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the Morning Edge. Your comment, your name first, and then your comment.
My name is Lawrence.
Oh, this is the old.
Hi, Lawrence.
The movie is not a documentary.
No, it is a semi-documentary.
A semi-documentary? Is that how it's listed on
I would say, having seen it, it's
about... You're acting like it was a documentary.
Lawrence, he did
Didn't
say...
Didn't you know it's a movie? And
Lawrence,
it's not...
he did say earlier that it was based upon some facts, but it was semi-documentary. He did mention that earlier in the program. So he did say exactly what you're saying. Once again, we're in agreement.
And everything. Yeah, I got you. It was a movie.
Lawrence, there's a lot of filming that's done.
Yeah, I know. I hate the rain on your parade, August. It was a movie.
Lawrence, that's exactly what we said. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate your comments. Yeah. Hopefully next time you can agree with yourself. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
That is a problematic. I keep hoping for Lawrence that he'll realize that talking at a mirror is not talking to anyone else.
Yeah, because you said that right up front. Simply said it was based upon facts, but also you did say it was not exactly true. I figured exactly what your wording was, but you acknowledged it up front.
It's a film. I don't dismiss films because they have an import in that the American people respond to things, and this film has gained a popularity that's probably greater than any film in memory.
It's done very, very well, and it brings about a discussion. So we're not saying all the facts are true, but it's a discussion worthy of exploring. There's a whole bunch of things, the post-traumatic stress syndrome issue, what happened to Chris after the fact, after he came back safely here to America, what happened to him, our involvement in Iraq, the decisions, do you kill this boy or to kill this woman? That's a discussion that we should have. And so we're not saying that all the facts, that all these movies, they're not all documentaries. They're basically pushing America to explore issues that should be examined. And it was well done.
And look at the provocative thoughts we've had come up. I mean, Lawrence is upset that it's just a movie, and it's a movie, and it's a. I think he said that 20 times, but I don't know that I understand the words very well. Manatee County, Port Manatee, could eventually be deepened to handle additional ship traffic after Barack Obama included $700,000 in funding for a dredging feasibility study in his 2016 federal budget. And that's going to be discussed on Friday with Carol Whitmore and the head of the director of the Manatee Port Authority, and Mr. Carlos Bacalas. And we're going to have some conversation on the value of the Port Manatee and what it does. So that'll be coming up. And then we've got another caller perhaps on the line here, if we can work that out. We're still adapting to the technological skills that we may or may not have. But do we have a caller, Floyd? I think, is he on the air? So whoever you are, caller, give us your name and your concerns and what your thoughts are. So
that was John just thanking us for our contributions, and he'll call us back next call.
That was John just thanking us for his contributions and our contributions, and he was also made the comment that when you start to have callers that become just negative and go on the rants, it drives listeners away.
Oh.
And I agree with that. We like to have people disagree with this. It's part of the American discourse. We grow by listening to other alternatives and stuff like that.
If you become a minus, then you know the time runs out rather quickly.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be a plus, then add to the show. Controversy and disagreement is fine, but if you're not going to be if you have a positive side, for example. When Lawrence, who called in and said, it's just a movie, and in order to dismiss everything that's been said, then you're not understanding the value of the culture.
And what value did he have to add? All he added was just a negativity, but he had positive to add to the conversation. Mm-hmm. Nothing to contribute in a positive, growing manner. So we're trying to progress here. Well, Augie and I have disagreed in a number of cases over the years, but it's always been done with respect and to see how we can grow from our exploration of what we're looking at.
Without lecturing people too much, I just would say that in cultures, when your art form, the American art form, is the film, and it's important to the society, it's important to everyone, and when they feel compelled and impelled to tell someone, go see it, you've got to see it, this is a real hero, then it's important to understand what heroism really is and what the greatest generation was. And what was that about? People risking themselves, being stakeholders in what we decided to do in 1941 when we were attacked at Pearl Harbor. And it took that attack to get us pulled into World War II. And so when that happened under a Democratic president in the midst of a Great Depression and 100% of the people were employed either in the military or building for the military, roadways, I-40 was built, a four-lane road at that time, for the military, not for you and me as an interstate connector, but it was the beginning of the interstate highway system that Eisenhower put forward and finished. And in those days, the sacrifice was to pay a tax, and a tax to produce a revenue, which is what taxes are in government. And revenue production is important for government. Revenue production is important for business. And we built what amounted to one country with an interstate traveling system called the interstate highway system or transport system, which was intended to include rail. The middle part of the highway system was supposed to have suspended rail. But we're coming to the end of the show, and we're there. So we're going to probably say, see you on Friday. Call us then. And thank you for all the patience you've exhibited for ourselves and our working together. Floyd has been wonderful, and I'm glad to have Floyd. I'm going to shake his hand right now, and thank you so much. See you on Friday.
I want to thank Wade. I want to thank Lawrence. I want to thank John, our callers, and thank again the audience for their patience. And have a wonderful Wednesday here in Bradenton, Sarasota, and Tampa Bay.
The driver of the SUV and five people on the train were killed. This is SRN News.
Private mortgage insurance, or PMI, can cost you thousands. But with the PMI advantage from Quicken Loans, you may never have to pay those expensive monthly mortgage insurance premiums again.